If the prospect of human cloning makes you queasy, brace yourself. Cloning's just the beginning. Get ready for children genetically designed to be smarter, stronger, and better looking. Makes a lot of people worry about a Frankenstein future. Men in lab coats tinkering with test tubes as they try to create perfect babies. One man who takes it all in stride is Gregory Stock, the director of UCLA's program on medicine, technology, and society. He's written the book Redesigning Humans, Our Inevitable Genetic Future.
Any time that we are able to inject our will and conscious choice into realms that were hitherto beyond our reach, there's great anxiety about this because people, what they're really afraid of is us, ourselves, our wisdom, the idea that we're going to, well, it's usually not that we are the ones that are going to mess it up, but somebody else is going to misuse this power in rather egregious ways. You know, in this realm, I think that the initial applications are going to be largely ones that are health-related, things like screening for a variety of diseases and such, which is already the initial stages of that are occurring in embryo screening that's associated with in vitro fertilization, where parents who are at high risk of having children with serious genetic diseases like cystic fibrosis are looking at an embryo, looking at the genetics of one of the cells of an embryo in a petri dish, and then deciding not to implant that embryo if it is going to be afflicted by that disease.
Don't you think, though, that when you look at that, screening seems more acceptable because it is a matter of saying, this looks good, that doesn't look good. I can make a reasonable choice between those two, but I'm not actually changing either one physically in order to experiment, to try to create something new.
Right. But when we talk about the initial stages of what's called germline engineering, which is going in and looking at the germinal cells, and that word comes from the same root as germination of a seed, for instance, where you alter the genetics of the first cell of an embryo. Well, in its initial stages, that is really going to be functionally equivalent to the screening processes, because if you decide to avoid implanting an embryo that has a mutation that will cause cystic fibrosis, or you decide to go in and repair that mutation, that really ends up in the same place. If you decide to screen embryos so as to select an embryo that is going to have a predisposition to have a high IQ, or you go in and make a few adjustments in order to bring that about, you're functionally kind of accomplishing the same thing at least the initial stages. So those lines are very, very hard to draw, and I think the decisions will be made based more on issues of safety and reliability than on the morality of these choices.
What do you think will happen once we have, as I guess most of us assume we will, make the choice to step across that line, however tentatively? What kind of genetic manipulations do you think will become common?
Well, I think that we will begin to seek the same kinds of things that we value today. One of those is going to be good health. People really would like to have stronger immune systems. They would like to have their healthy lifespans extended. In addition, they will probably want to be a little more talented, perhaps a little smarter, a little bit more attractive, a little bit more physically adept.
One of the things that seems to worry people a lot is that we're going to try to create perfect children. They're going to be smarter than we are. They're going to be athletic in ways that we can hardly imagine. And then, of course, along with that is the worry that parents will say, these are things I don't want in our children. They may, for instance, say, I don't want a son who is gay. Doesn't that worry you?
No, I don't. I'm not worried about this because I think that we can deal with these issues as they arise. Some people will choose not to have gay children. Many gay couples will actually choose to have gay children and will be able to do that. I think that the one thing that we can be certain about is that we will be quite surprised by what occurs and that it will step on all of our sensitivities. For instance, deaf couples have said that they will use screening technologies to ensure that they will have deaf children.
I'm curious about one aspect of this. Let's assume we make changes in our children. Is it a one-generation fix? Is this something they can then pass down, or is it going to have to be done again and again and again?
Well, I think that if it were a one-generation fix, if you make alterations and the kinds that I see as being the most likely technologies to be suitable for this, gotta have the safety and reliability that we would need for ourselves, will be things like artificial chromosomes, where instead of having 46 chromosomes, we add a 47th and a 48th chromosome with clusters of genes under very nuanced control on those chromosomes. If we're able to do things of that sort, then we might be able to pass those from generation to generation, but actually we won't want to, because like any technology, it improves very, very rapidly. And 25 years from now, any artificial chromosome that we would be able to create today would look primitive indeed. So in fact, people will want the latest, the most refined, the safest kinds of artificial chromosomes, and there are techniques that have been proposed by which such chromosomes would essentially automatically self-destruct at the time of reproduction, so they would have to be added anew with each generation.
It would be a little like putting a computer chip in your brain from the Commodore 64 era and suddenly realizing that that was way too slow for you today.
Right, and that brings up the issue of the major gulfs not being between the rich and the poor of one generation, although those will exist. Certainly access to all technology is easier when you have money. But between one generation and the next generation and the next generation, those will be the big gulfs as technology advances rapidly, especially if lifespans increase. So this will be very, very challenging for us, and it will have large implications about the evolutionary future of the human species, which is something that we will be essentially taking control of.
Who's going to do this, do you think? Is it going to be the developed countries that have the most money and the most technology and the most ability to do this?
I think that actually these technologies, the sharpest dividing line is going to be on the basis of history and philosophy and religion and values. For instance, Germany, a very affluent, technologically advanced nation, is probably going to be in the rear as far as these technologies are concerned. They don't even allow genetic screening of embryos at this point because of their rather horrific experience with their Nazi past. And countries like Thailand and China are going to move forward as quickly as they can. So I think in a way these are going to allow peoples and nations to manifest aspects of their philosophy in their biology and in their embrace of these sorts of technologies.
Where does this leave sex? Is sex out of the equation now? Is sex strictly recreational in the future, do you think?
We care too much about sex for that to be anything but central in our lives. And I think that the process of the separation of reproduction and sex itself took a very strong move forward with the development of contraceptives. And I think it's going to continue in that process to the point where we really begin to look at it as reckless to create children by sexual reproduction without any sorts of screening and checking and these sorts of things, that basically we just look at it as too dangerous a process, that children are too important to leave to a random meeting of sperm and egg.
So you really do see this as the inevitable moving forward of human evolutionary process?
Yes, I see it that way because while it may be resisted by large fractions of the population, while there's never going to be a consensus about it, and it may be a very turbulent movement, a kind of a birth in a way, we have to think back on how evolution works. Evolution usually doesn't work by lockstep movement of entire populations. It works by small isolates making breakthroughs that put them at enormous advantages. Evolution is that kind of a messy process, and it seems to me that all of the ingredients for continued evolution of the human species are here right now, and that I cannot imagine how they could possibly be stopped.
Greg Stock runs UCLA's program on medicine, technology, and society. His book is called Redesigning Humans, Our Inevitable Genetic Future.